Proverbs chapter 10, we start to move more quickly. The first nine chapters were more in sermon form, long sections of proverbial thought relative to strange women, to laziness, to wisdom. From chapter 10, verse 1 to 22:16, there are 375 sayings. Now remember, Solomon wrote over 3,000 proverbs. We don't have many of them recorded, but we have several hundred. And these are all short, staccato. These first five or six chapters really contrast evil and good, the righteous and the wicked, the wise and the foolish. And you'll see if you read through on your own and underline every time it says but, it's contrasting. Sometimes it says and it's constructive, it's building. But we come to a lot of short staccato proverbs that would have been one-line proverbs. Now they've all been collected and put together in this section of Proverbs. So we'll jump in and we'll just move through this. The Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son, and we just spent chapters talking about that, didn't we? My son, listen to my instructions, so forth. And a wise son maketh a glad father, but, there's the contrast, a foolish son is heaviness to his mother. Now, he's obviously heaviness to his dad, too. And a wise son obviously makes the mom proud also. But it's saying kids affect parents. That's one thing we can say without doubt. I've got four of them, and they do. Kids affect parents. But it's saying more than that. It's saying that first of all, you can't be wise or foolish without affecting other lives. And certainly those that are closer to you are more greatly affected. Some people think, I don't hurt anybody, I'll live my own life, you go out and act like a fool or you act like a wise person. You can't do that unto yourself. There's no one that can live in rebellion. There's no one that can walk away from the Lord that's any part of a Christian community or a Christian family and decide they're going to live like a fool in the world without touching the lives of people who care. And so, very plainly, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is heaviness to his mother. Verse 2, the treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but in contrast, righteousness delivereth from death. Now, ill-gotten gain, your translation might say, is short-lived. It doesn't produce anything. Contrasting righteousness, which delivers from death. So, true riches are viewed in light of eternity, is what it's saying. No matter how much gold you collect in this world, you can't take it with you. But righteousness, which is a gift of God through faith, through substitutionary atonement, delivers from death. It's eternal riches. The Lord will not suffer the soul of the righteous to famish, to starve, but he casteth away the substance of the wicked. The Lord caring for the righteous, but dealing with the wicked. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, but the hand of the diligent, in contrast, maketh rich. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand, who's lazy, who doesn't take opportunity, but the hand of the diligent, hard work, pays off. I mean, we've heard that our whole life. Faith is not lazy, it's saying here. He that deals with a slack hand is poor, but the hand of the diligent, it makes rich. And there's always the contrast between the righteous and the wicked, the wise and the foolish here. So the idea is, just because you're a person of faith doesn't mean you don't have to work hard. You just don't sit home and pray and wait for money to come in the mails, you know, sweepstakes or something. He that gathereth in summer is a wise son, but he that sleepeth in harvest is a son that causeth shame. And in Israel, a lot of the harvest came in the early part of the summer, the Feast of Pentecost, the beginning of the harvest. So he that gathers in the summer is wise. He that sleeps in harvest causes shame. The wisdom knows its seasons. Wisdom knows when it's a season to be taken opportunity of. If you're wise, you'll understand the circumstance you're in, and we better take advantage of this circumstance because it never may never come again. Wisdom understands its seasons. A fool does not. Blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covereth or overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Now, 13 times in this chapter alone, the speech, and that's what it's talking about here, violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked, is what pours out of the mouth of someone who's wicked. 13 times in chapter 10 alone, the speech of the wise and the foolish, the righteous and the wicked are contrasted. So there's a contrasting view here. The blessings are upon the head of the just, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the just is blessed, but the name of the wicked shall rot. I like that. It makes a good plaque, doesn't it? The memory of the just is blessed. So not just in this life, but the idea is, hey, Grandma, man, she was something. She was an on-fire Christian. She was a firecracker. Man, I loved your grandma. We would come over. She would always witness to, you know, the memory of the just, it says here, is blessed. But the name of the wicked shall rot. Who names their daughter Jezebel? Judas Iscariot, you know, the name of the wicked shall rot. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating, your translation may say chattering, and we know them both, a chattering fool shall fall or come to ruin. So the wise in heart, they receive commandments. They understand instruction. They yield. But a chattering fool shall fall. He that walketh uprightly walketh, King James, surely, the idea is securely. The upright, those that are walking before the Lord, there's a security there. Does it mean there's never trouble? Does it mean there's never pain? No, but there is a security. Again, I remember the night that I thought my son was dying, bleeding to death on the way to the trauma unit, and looking at him and all of a sudden realizing, well, this is the gospel. It isn't goodbye, it's I'm going to see you again. This is the bottom line in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there are no goodbyes. And the idea is, walk uprightly, there's security. There was just a solid rock there when I needed it to be there. But he that perverteth his way shall be known. In other words, it all comes out in time. The person who's perverting their way, it's going to come out in the open. Everybody's going to know. He that winketh with his eye causeth sorrow. Now, I forget how many times, over 40 times, I believe, in the Old Testament, talks about those who wink with their eyes. It was a cultural thing. We're not sure exactly what it was, but it's always put in the context of the fool, always put in the context of the evil and the unrighteous. So most scholars think it meant that, you know, folks would get themselves into a situation, and because they didn't have, you know, walkie-talkies, or they said, okay, when you see me wink twice with my eye, then you shoot the guy on the right, you know, that it was a signal given to be involved in some kind of mischief. So he that winketh with his eye causeth sorrow, but a prating fool shall fall. That's more constructive. There's two ideas of the negative there. The mouth of the righteous man is a well of life. No, there again, we're talking about speech. But violence covereth or overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. The same idea as in verse 6. Hatred stirreth up strife, but love covereth all sin. So look out for somebody who says they love you and then stab you in the back, if they say they love you and then they gossip about you. It says here, hatred stirs up strife, but love covereth all sins. The lips of him that hath understanding, in the lips of him that hath understanding, wisdom is found. But a rod is for the back of him that is void of understanding. So the lips of him that hath understanding, there's wisdom. And on the other hand, a big stick is for the back of a fool. I kind of like that. Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. So one is reserving knowledge and learning. The other is near destruction. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. And now there's even a sad truth in this. You know, they say in this world, it takes money to make money. And many times in this world, if you have a reserve, an opportunity comes, you're able to jump into an investment, you're able to move forward. But it's so often that the poverty of those who are less fortunate ends up to be their greatest struggle. And so, yes, there's truth, but it's sad in that verse. A rich man's wealth is his strong city. Destruction of the poor is their poverty. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life. The fruit of the wicked is sin. The wages is the idea. It's what the righteous are paid. It kind of is the idea in the Hebrew. The NIV I think hits on that a little bit. The wages of the righteous tends to life. What he's being paid in the long run eternally is life, but the fruit of the wicked is sin. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction. Someone who hears instruction, holds on to it, and then walks in it is in the way of life. But he that refuses reproof erreth, and it's an interesting verb form. It's not only he that refuses reproof errs, but he causes others to err along with him. It's kind of inclusive the way it's written. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. So they're, you know, hiding hatred with lying lips, not being honest, and uttering slander, a fool. In the multitude of words there wanteth not sin. I can say amen to that. In the multitude of words, in other words, if you talk enough, you're going to get yourself in trouble. The easy translation is a fool's talk too much. In the multitude of words, you talk so much, there wanteth not. There's no lack of sin. How many times have you said something and wished that you could reel it back in again? Because once it's out, it is gone. The multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. You know, we have one, I'm sure that you've heard, better to keep quiet and let people wonder if you're a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Same kind of idea. The tongue of the just, in contrast, is as choice silver. You've heard of someone, hey, they have a silver tongue. That's where it comes from. But the heart of the wicked is worth little. The lips of the righteous feed many. Spiritually, that is. They benefit others. The lips of the righteous feed many. But fools, and interesting, this is the first time in the book of Proverbs that the righteous and the fool is contrasted. Usually it's the righteous and the wicked, or the wise and the fool. But you can see then that the ideas are interchangeable in many ways. Here we have the righteous and the fool contrasted. The lips of the righteous feed many. But fools die for want of wisdom. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. That's true wealth. The blessing of the Lord, when God blesses you, makes you rich. I mean, how many times have you been somewhere and you have witnessed people with so much more monetarily, materially than you have that are miserable? And maybe you drove over to that circumstance in some old bomb and you were singing praise songs all the way over, wondering if your car was going to make it. You know, the blessing of the Lord, that's what makes rich. You know, during the last depression, people that were millionaires were jumping out of windows because of the stock market crash. And then there was somewhere, some guy sitting with one chicken, he just cut up and started to roast in the pot and he was happy as a lark. So the blessing of the Lord, that's what makes a man rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief. I know, because I remember being young, getting together with friends and wondering what kind of mischief we could get into. One kind of trouble or another, hanging something on somebody's doorknob or doing something crazy. It is as sport. It was like a game to run and not get caught. I don't do that anymore. The pastoral staff, we don't get together and do those things. Just want you to know them. It is as sport to a fool to do mischief, but a man of understanding hath wisdom. The fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him, but the desire of the righteous shall be granted. A lot of contrasting here, the righteous and the wicked. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. Man, I don't like the way that sounds. I'm glad I know Jesus. As the whirlwind passeth, so is the wicked no more. But the righteous is an everlasting foundation, eternal life, of course. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes. Now, I'm not sure exactly what vinegar does to the teeth. When was the last time you took a mouthful of vinegar? I know some people are crazy, drink pickle juice and stuff. But as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes. Now, I'm assuming, and obviously it's talking about something that's irritating and annoying. You know what it's like to get smoke in your eyes. You know what it's like to be by a campfire somewhere. And you stand by the campfire and the smoke blows in your eyes, so you move to the other side, and then the wind changes direction and blows it in your eyes on that side. And isn't it interesting, no matter where you move around the campfire, that's the way the wind blows. I always wonder why that happens, but maybe because God wants us to learn this proverb. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to those that send him. So as smoke is irritating to your eyes, so is it when you send a lazy person to get something accomplished for you. I like that. That's good plaque stuff. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. The fear of the Lord, the reverence of Almighty God, is just good medicine for a long and healthy life. Because if we fear God, it will keep us from many things. If we hold him in reverence and know that we'll give account someday, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. What a good thing. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. What they hope in will dissipate. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. The way of the Lord is strength to the upright. So don't worry. You know, we look at the world sometimes as Christians. We get weary. You think of Lot. His righteous soul was vexed in Sodom. But God would always remind us that the way of the Lord, it's strength to the upright, but destruction shall be to the workers of iniquity. And by the way, even the most perverse person that I see on the news, I pray for. Because when I think of everlasting punishment, endless punishment, I couldn't wish that on anybody. Even the most rotten of human beings, if we try to comprehend eternal separation from God and endless suffering, the destiny, you know, the Bible says that hell was created for Satan and his angels, not for mankind. Men have to be determined to go there, because God will over and over and over and over again make a way of escape. But I pray for even the most wretched people. Not to hang around me, just to get saved before they die. The righteous shall never be removed, but the wicked shall not inhabit the earth. And what a day that will be, won't it, when there is no wickedness in the earth. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom, But the froward, perverse tongue shall be cut out. I don't like the way that sounds either. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked speaketh perversely or arrogantly. So the lips of the righteous say, they know what's acceptable. Don't say more than this. Chapter 11, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. So Solomon writing this, they didn't have scales, they didn't have digital scales, they didn't weigh things the way we do today. They had balances, and you put something on one side and you weighed it against that. Of course, now, someone who was crooked in that day, if they were buying a pound of something from you, they would lay the heavy weights on the scale then so that they would get more than a pound. They would put their weights on that were on the heavy side of a pound. So when they would buy a pound of butter for you, you'd have to put a pound and a quarter on there to get the scales to balance out. When they were selling you something, they would put the light weights on. So if they were selling you, a pound of something, you wouldn't have to put much on there. You'd end up with a little bit less than a pound. So there's unjust weights and measures. The United States had the National Bureau of Standard Weights and Measures for years. I'm not sure if that's been gobbled up by another department of government by now. I don't stay up on the National Bureau of Standard Weights and Measures, but there's a story about and I have to think how it goes because there's no sense if I just ruin the whole thing, but I'll be one of the fools in these other verses. Now we'll move on. But look, it's a great exhortation for Christian businessmen that the Lord finds it abominable when there isn't a just measure in business, that someone should be getting what they pay for. Sadly, we have to take business cards off our bulletin board sometimes. Sadly, we hear people say, I'm not looking in the Christian Yellow Pages. The last time I did business out there, I got ripped off. That's a shame. And there are too many Christian businessmen that hide behind 1 Corinthians chapter 6, where it says, brethren shouldn't be taking brethren to court before worldly judges. They hide behind that. Yeah, I made a mistake, but they're the one who's sinning. Shouldn't be taking, the Lord is the one, ultimately, who finds abominable brethren, ripping off brethren when there's unjust weights and measures. He says that here. It's an abomination to the Lord. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. Somebody who is trusting in themselves. Isaiah 14 tells us about the entrance of pride, Satan, lifted up with pride, being cast down. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. Again, honesty, just the best policy. If you have integrity and you're led by that, you have just a sense of what's right and wrong, and to any cost at yourself, you're willing to stick to that course, there is blessing, but the perverseness of transgressors is destructive to them. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. This is great plaque stuff. But righteousness delivers from death. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. You would rather be the poorest man in heaven than the richest man in hell. That's what it's saying here. In the day of wrath, James chapter 5 says, you know, that your gold and your silver will be eaten up like a canker. You know, it'll be burned away when the day of God's wrath comes. It will mean nothing. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. You know, the book of Revelation tells us about a time when things will become so bad that you will have to trade a day's wage just to get enough grain for yourself. That in the final analysis, food is worth more than gold. You can have a wheelbarrow full of Krugerrands and you can't eat them. You can have a loaf of bread and when times are bad enough, it's worth more than gold is. So, in the day of wrath, riches profit not, but righteousness delivers from death. And of course, that's the righteousness by faith in Christ. not what Solomon was thinking of when he wrote, but certainly we know the whole truth of righteousness. The righteousness of the perfect or the upright shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. Solomon using all kinds of words here to tell us their evil devices. The righteousness, verse 6, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. From what? From what? I don't need to know. I would have to be wicked to find out. Understand, if you're going to walk before the Lord, you're going to commit your way to Him, you may be delivered from 1,000 things you're not even aware of just because your feet were in the right place. The only way to find out what trouble you'd have gotten into if you hadn't walked before the Lord is to walk there, and of course, that's a bad place to be. So, the righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. That's fine, I don't need to know from what. Just do it, Lord. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, dies with him. But the hope, and this is constructive one upon another, and the hope of the unjust man perishes. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked end up in the middle of it. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. A hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor. And oftentimes in that day, your neighbor was neighbors could be far and few between, so it was wisdom to live with your neighbor the right way. When it goeth well with the righteous, the city rejoices. When things are going good with the righteous, the city is rejoicing. I don't know if we'll ever find out about that. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoices. And when the wicked perish, they're shouting. Now, we saw some of that in the war in Iraq. We saw some of the people jumping up and down, celebrating in the streets when they were finally liberated from tyranny. Herod the Great was such a cruel man and who governed when Jesus was born and a young boy that he killed several of his sons and at least one of his wives. The saying in that day was it was safer to be Herod's pig than his son. Herod knew that he was so hated that he gave commandment because he was afraid when he died that they would celebrate. So he picked out some of the very prominent people in the city that were loved and wrote a commandment before he died that the day he died, they were to be killed so there would be mourning on the day of his death. Of course, when he died, the people that were supposed to kill the good people realized, well, he's dead now, there ain't nothing he can do about it. And they didn't listen, and the city rejoiced. Anyway, so backfired. But the Bible was true. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. He that is void of wisdom despises his neighbor. You know, as Christians, we can only do that because we don't understand the grace of God. Because if you can despise your neighbor, the truth is, you believe that he needed God's grace more than you did. You believe that he needed the blood of Jesus more than you do. You believe that he's more of a scoundrel than you are. Yeah, I believe in grace. I just believe he needs it more than I do. He who despises his neighbor, it says, is void of wisdom. But a man of understanding holdeth his peace. He knows how to refrain from saying things he shouldn't say. So, you get into a tough situation. The rule is, don't put on the gloves and don't get in the ring. Be an observer and not a participant, because once you're a participant, you've got personally involved and you got snagged. If you're going to be an observer, you stand outside and say, Lord Jesus, this is so crazy. Help me to just not get involved in this at all, and be an observer instead of a participant. 13, a tale bearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Again, I think of Moses' sons backing in and covering his nakedness, and instead of letting their father be shamed. And a tale bearer reveals secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit conceals a matter. Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And that just, that's so true. You understand someone sometimes by the people they gather around them. And I'm thankful that I'm surrounded with people that really do a multitude of things that I have no capacity, gift, or calling to do, and that I don't want to do, and they do much better than I would do. And that's a blessing. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. In other words, if you lend somebody money or you co-sign for them and someone you don't know well, you're going to end up in trouble. And he that hateth suretyship is sure. That's where the King James shines, doesn't it? He that hateth suretyship is sure. If you hate to co-sign, you're secure, is what it says. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Now, it seems to be a saying that a gracious woman retains honor, but strength can only retain riches and not honor. It seems to be, though it's not contrastive, it is constructive, it seems to be still drawing a difference. The merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. So a merciful man, he does good to his own soul. And if you are the kind of person that holds a grudge, you're spiteful. Some people are like that. They just cook. You offend them, they cook. Are you a pressure cooker? What kind of a cooker are you? And how long can you cook? I know people that can cook for a year. In fact, I know people that can cook for decades. I got people in my family that have been cooking for 50 years. Just, you know, spiteful, holding on to something that happened 50 years ago. Remember when you were in diapers? No, I don't. Forget it, please. If you're merciful, you're forgiving, you do good to your own soul. You get rid of all that agita, all that stress, you won't get ulcers. You know, scientists are amazed at how integrated we are mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically. If you're filled with hatred and unforgiveness, it takes a toll on your physical frame. So the merciful man doeth good to his own soul, but he that is cruel troubleth his own flesh. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward, because you reap the same kind that you sow. As a man sows, so shall he reap. As righteousness tendeth to life, so he that pursueth evil pursueth it to his own death. So righteousness tends towards an easier, healthier, longer life, and to eternity ultimately. But evil, if we pursue that, it tends to death. They that are of a froward or a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord. Those that are of a froward, proud, arrogant, perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but, and I think this is remarkable, such as are upright in their way are his delight. Such as are upright in their way are his delight. That means that we can pray, Father, let my life bring joy to you. Father, let me live uprightly. And when I lay my head on the pillow at night, let me know, Lord, that there's joy in your heart, that I get to give back, that I get to be a delight. And I want my life to be a delight to the Almighty. Though hand join in hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. They slap hands, they shake on something. But the seed of the righteous shall be delivered. 22 is a classic. We should have the bumper stickers ready next week. As a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, I just like the way that sounds, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. You gotta like that, don't you? I mean, we went through all these good and evil, wise and foolish, and the one you're gonna remember is the one about the pig's nose. I know it. It's just, as we think in pictures, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout. Okay, now just think about that for a while. A nose ring, which was common in the culture. What it's saying is, no matter how costly or how beautiful or expensive a piece of jewelry is, when you put it in a pig's nose, you still have a problem. What you have is, you simply have a pig with something nice in his nose. It doesn't change the creature. And for the Jew, you know the way they felt about pigs, about swine. So you can imagine how this would register in the mind of a Jewish family. As a beautiful gold nose ring in a pig's swine snout. That's better. So is a beautiful woman without discretion. She's like a pig with a pretty face. That's what it's saying here. A beautiful woman without discretion is like a gold ring in a pig's nose. So makeup doesn't change, just like jewelry doesn't change what it's on, makeup won't fix what's inside. So don't spend a lot of money on it until you fix up the inside first. That's my own proverb. The desire of the righteous is only good. But the expectation of the wicked is wrath. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked, whether they know it or not, is the idea, is wrath. Now, we have a series of, they're kind of like couplets here, and we move into some of these. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is fitting, but then it tends to poverty. Look what it's saying there. And certainly this is something where God constantly would prove us. If you've been here for any number of years, you know we never preach on money. We never, it's not an issue. We have never asked. We pass the chicken buckets. Whenever we have been in need, we have gotten on our knees and we've asked God, and he's always provided. But this is a truth for your personal lives in this world and in the world to come. We pass the chicken bucket. If you're sitting there going, yeah, here comes a chicken bucket, that's all they think. Well, don't put anything in. That's between you and the Lord. That $5 would make you happier buying pizza, then that's all you're going to get out of it. You put $5 in the bucket because you love Jesus, you just send it ahead. And that's my responsibility to let you know that too. It'll wait for you in eternity, and it'll bear fruit unto eternity. And Solomon, the wisest man that ever lives, he says, you know, there is the kind of person that scatters their wealth, and yet they increase. And there is the kind of person that withholds more than they really should withhold, and that tends to poverty. How does that work? You save your money and become poorer. You scatter your money and become wealthier. How does that work? Why? Because God makes it happen. He's the part of the equation that's not mentioned here. God blesses. And when God sees us give from a heart, if we will funnel his resources to where his heart is beating, he will provide. And he'll replace and he'll increase. If we are stingy and we hold on, he'll teach us another lesson, and somehow we never have enough. The liberal soul shall be made fat. Now, this is not talking about liberals and conservatives. This is the one who gives willingly, the idea is. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And fatness in this day was a good thing. See, they were not doing everything we're doing with, you know, Windsor Pilates and all of these exercises and diets and fiber and fat burners and all of this stuff. If you were fat in that day, you were considered blessed. I'm going to stop right there because if I go any further, I'm going to end up in trouble. The liberal soul shall be made fat. And he that watereth shall be watered also himself. The idea of sowing and reaping there. He that withholdeth grain, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. So in that day, the major means of transaction, you know, oil, you withhold, turn off the spigots today and you raise the oil prices. The price of oil goes up and you make more money. Everybody gets in line at the pumps and curses the people who aren't selling the oil. In that day, it was grain. And if you were wealthy and you had your hand on the grain market and you withheld, the people were angry. They needed food and the price of grain was driven up. But this is an individual who, for his own personal wealth, is cutting off a basic need from his fellow man. And God takes note of it. He that withholdeth grain, the people shall curse him. But blessing shall be upon the head of him that sells. He that diligently seeks good procures favor. So the kind of person who diligently seeks good on behalf of the Lord, on behalf of others, he procures favor. But he that seeketh mischief, that's what he's going to get. It's going to come to him. He that trusts in his riches shall fall, but the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that trusteth in his riches shall fall. It tells us another place, they take wings, riches, they'll take wings and fly away. Money talks. It says goodbye. But the righteous shall flourish as a branch. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind, and the fool shall be servant to the wise at heart. He that troubleth his own house shall inherit the wind. What a sad thing to see some that are raised in a Christian home. From the time they're little, they know the truth, and they just make up their mind, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, I'm going to go out and live in the world. I'm going to live in sin. I'm going to do. And not only are they trampling on the legacy that probably was sought to be handed to them by their parents, if their parents are Christians, they're trampling on the Word of God, troubling their own house. They're going to inherit the wind. It turns to nothing. You end up like the prodigal, broken, eating husks with the swine, saying it's better to be a servant in my father's house. So, and by the way, that goes for the husband who takes his earnings and goes to Atlantic City and is always gambling. And the money that could go to pay for Christian school or to send his kid on a missions trip or a class trip or a new set of clothes or spending it on alcohol or the wife who's out, who's miserable because of some circumstance at home, so she runs the credit card up to 20 grand to relieve her stress or to punish her husband. The person that troubles their own house, they end up inheriting the wind. It doesn't produce anything. And the fool, they end up being servant to the wise at heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, of course, Solomon didn't understand that in the sense of preaching the gospel and seeing people saved. Those who were winning souls in his mind were those who were receiving instruction in regards to wisdom and godliness and turning their lives around. We have the entire picture, and it's just as true in the context of the gospel that he that wins souls is wise. Behold, the righteous shall be recompensed in the earth. The day is going to come when And what a day that will be when God sets up his kingdom. Much more the wicked and the sinner. If the righteous shall be recompensed, judgment begins at the house of God. It doesn't end there. It goes to the unsaved world. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof, King James says, is brutish. If you're NIV positive, you got the great translation there. They're stupid. Whoso loveth instruction loves knowledge, but he that hates reproof is stupid. Wait a minute. That's not a politically correct word. We're going to give somebody a inferiority complex. Okay, you hate instruction and you're smart. No, that wouldn't work either. Whoso loves instruction loves knowledge, but he that hates reproof is stupid. A good man obtains favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he, the Lord, condemn. An important verse. Because it doesn't say he'll get caught. It doesn't say he'll necessarily get exposed. You see, the truth of what the verse is saying is that a good man obtains favor of the Lord. Not of other men. It doesn't necessarily mean that it's seen of other men. A man or a woman who does what's right and they do it before the Lord, even though other humans don't notice that, they end up having favor from the Lord. But someone who practices wicked devices and secrecy and is a sneak and is sinning secretly, it says he, the Lord, will condemn. It doesn't matter that a human eye hasn't fallen on their activity. You know, it's interesting, when the law is given and you read through the book of Deuteronomy, it says, if a man does this, this is supposed to be the punishment. If a person does this, this is how you deal with them. If they do this, this is what you do. And then it says, if someone does this and no one sees it, the Lord will involve himself and he'll smite them with the botch. Now, I don't like the way that sounds at all. I've read lots of scholars talking about what they think the botch is, but I've got the Holy Spirit, and whatever they say it is, I don't want it. But the whole idea is there's a whole section on what God will do to people who sin, who are not caught or exposed in the human realm of his justice and what he prescribes for sin, that the Lord deals with them. They don't get away with anything. And it says that here. A good man obtains favor of the Lord, but a man of wicked devices will he condemn. A man shall not be established by wickedness. It's building on sand, isn't it? Jesus told us that. But the root of the righteous shall not be moved. There's a firm foundation, the root of the righteous. He's rooted and grounded. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. That's a good bumper sticker, too. A virtuous woman, a good woman, an upright woman, is a crown to her husband, a woman that is serving the Lord along with him. The wife has huge influence in the life of her husband, a huge influence. And when she's godly and upright, she's virtuous. She's like a crown to her husband, worn on the top of his head, visible. But a wife who makes her husband ashamed, embarrasses him, is like a rottenness in his bones. So what are you going to do? You know, sometimes a man can just cook. You know, Kathy and I, when I get married, you know, I said, look, this is one of the laws that we're going to live by. When we're out in public and we disagree, we will not fight in front of other people. If you think I'm wrong, you can just grit your teeth, and when we get home, you can tell me all about it. But don't embarrass me out in front of other people. You come to church, sit there, look interested, try to stay awake, don't humiliate me in front of other people, and when we go home, you snap your fingers and I'll jump. I'll do whatever you say. I'm just kidding. But, you know, the idea is, you know, the way man is constructed, you know, it says husbands are to love their wives the way Christ loves the church. That's very simple and very complex. The way Christ loved the church was in the incarnation and in the crucifixion. He entered into our world and he died there. That will keep me busy for the rest of my life with my wife. If I'm willing to enter into her world and die there, we will not have a problem. When I get home from work, usually I don't want to enter into her world. She's in a different world. Sometimes we're in the same world, but her world has different stuff attached to it. And sometimes when I get home, my mind is fried and she's talking to me and she's, you know, there's different levels of what has to happen there. But if I'm willing to enter in to her world and just die there, no problem. The way Christ loved the church. But on the other hand, it says that she's supposed to respect reverence. There's just something about that. It's perverted in the fall, but there's something about the way a wife meets the husband of a man in that context. And Solomon here with more wives than he needs to learn this lesson says a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh ashamed is like rottenness in his bones, the emotional stress of a humiliating wife. It's bad for your health. The thoughts of the righteous are right. I knew that. I would have known that even if Solomon hadn't written that. So would you. But the counsels of the wicked are deceit. The words of the wicked are to lie in wait for blood. They're planning someone else's hurt. But the mouth of the upright shall deliver them. The upright people want to deliver. The wicked are overthrown and are not. Boy, some of these are so pointed, that's just not comfortable. The wicked are overthrown and are not. But the house of the righteous shall stand. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that, now King James says this, he that is of a perverse heart shall be despised. Your NIV, I believe, says he that has a warped mind. I like that. It's more fitting in our society. A man shall be commended according to his wisdom, but he that has a warped mind shall be despised. He that is despised and hath a servant is better than he that honors himself and doesn't have anything to eat. So this is just a strange one that'll stick in your mind for some reason too. A man that's despised, he's considered of no account, and yet he has a servant. He's better off than a guy who thinks he's something who doesn't even have any bread to eat. You can work on that one yourself. It'll last a while. A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. So a righteous man in an agrarian society, even known by the way he cared for his flocks, his ox was his tractor, a mule. This is not talking about dogs and cats, though I think we should be nice to them too. This is talking about a righteous man. He regards the life of his beast, keeping livestock. He's taking care of there's mercy, there's consideration there. And it's just another evidence of the fact that he is upright, he's righteous. But even the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread. Again, hard work pays. But he that followeth King James vain persons, it's just vain. Your translation may say fantasies, is void of understanding. Somebody who just follows dreams, void of understanding, because hard work is what God has prescribed. Even he said to Adam that, you know, before the fall, that he was to keep the garden. After the fall, he said to Adam, by the sweat of your brow, you'll bring forth food to eat and so forth. So, he that tilleth his land, and look, our land is different today. I'm not sure what your land is. God has given you something to till, to develop. to be steward over, a talent, an athletic ability, an academic inclination. The point is, God has given us things to be steward over. He that tilleth his land shall be satisfied with bread, but he that followeth fantasies is void of understanding. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked desires the net of evil men, the fortress that evil would provide for them. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. Boy, we see that on TV all the time, don't we? The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips. I think of that guy standing in Baghdad. The Americans are nowhere here. We're slaughtering them. They don't exist. They're gone. Things are blowing up behind him. The wicked is snared by the transgression of God. We see this in American politics too. But the just shall come out of trouble. I'm glad of that, aren't you? A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands shall be rendered unto him. Again, hard work, wisdom with your mouth, important. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. It's hard to dissuade him. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's wrath is presently known. In other words, a fool shows his annoyance. He flies off the handle. Whereas a prudent man is different. The way of a fool, a fool's wrath is presently known. You see somebody who's given to anger, to flying off the handle, it's obvious. A fool's wrath is presently known. But a prudent man covereth shame. He takes an insult and he bears it. Christ, turn the other cheek. Not only did he tell us to do that, he did turn the other cheek. Someone asked you to go with him 1 mile, go with him two. Not only did he tell us that, he did it. The prudent man, the wise man, covereth shame. He can take an insult and move on. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Now, this is another one I like. I don't know. These are the ones that just stick with me. You know somebody like that? There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. You know, somebody can slice and dice you with their tongue, can't they? Leave you bleeding. And walk away and you're like just bleeding all over the floor. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. Boy, I don't like to be around that kind of person. You have to carry your first aid kit with. The tongue of the wise, it's health. The lip of truth shall be established forever. The lip of truth. That's a funny way to say that. Or the lip of truth shall be established forever. But a lying tongue is but for a moment. And Psalm 73 talks us about that, keeping things in light of eternity. It's momentary. Paul talks about this light affliction, which is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil. Oh, we're going to run to the end of the chapter here. But to the counselors of peace there is joy. There shall no evil happen to the just. We're going to have to end there. There shall no evil happen to the just, but the wicked shall be filled with mischief. Is that true? There shall no evil happen to the just. Well, wait a minute. We see people here in pain. We see people that love the Lord going through difficult circumstances. But I think the Bible's clear that if we are walking with the Lord, that all things do work together for the good the loved of God, called according to his purpose. We think of Job. What was going on behind the scenes that he didn't know? There shall no evil happen to the just. Was it evil that was happening to Job? Well, it was governed by God, but it sure seemed like it, didn't it? I think sometimes in our lives, it's one of the things that stumbles us tremendously. Lord, I love you. I give my life to you. What is this all about? Why is this happening in my life? We think of Joseph in Genesis chapter 50, in the end of the book of Genesis, saying to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Wait a minute, Joseph. You're talking about a 15-year trial. Those are two words I don't even like to put together, 15-year and trial. That wasn't evil. Your brothers hated you. They threw you in a pit. They sold you to the Midianites. You went down to Egypt. You're sold on the auction block like a slave, like a piece of meat. You end up in Potiphar's house. You try to do what's right. You get accused of rape. You get thrown in prison. You get forgotten by the baker. 15 years of that. And he could look at his brothers and say, you know, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Or Daniel, carried to Babylon, 13, 14 years old, maybe seeing his parents slaughtered. And yet he rode on the top of kingdoms and directed the course of so much of history. Alexander the Great coming to Babylon and to Jerusalem, being handed prophecies of Isaiah that said he would come. Cyrus coming and being handed the prophecies of Isaiah 4:45, saying by Daniel, saying this is what God said about you, Cyrus, before you were born. Sure looked like evil, didn't it? David tending the flocks. When you're out there and a bear comes and a lion comes and you're a kid and you read, "There shall no evil happen to the just," what are you thinking? Lord, there's a lion looking me in the face. I must not be just. You're getting me, aren't you? I was mad at Aunt Jane 2 weeks ago, and this is what we always try to figure it out. Well, he was being trained to kill giants. It wasn't evil. It was good. We go on and on. There's truth in this. It's not always comfortable, but there's truth. There shall no evil happen to the just. God's hand is on our lives. But the wicked shall be filled with mischief. So, read ahead. We got some great stuff coming up. I wanted to get to some of these things in the end here. I like verse 27. The slothful man roasteth not that which he took in hunting. The idea is there was no fridge then, so you're a lazy guy, you shoot an animal and you sit around, you're so lazy, by the time you decide to clean it and dress it, it's already rotten. Excuse me. I encourage you to read ahead. If the Lord tarries, we'll move through the rest of chapter 12 and the 13 and 14, and there's just some great stuff. And look, read ahead. Most of these are like one-liners. And some of them are just going to tickle you. Some of them are funny. Some of them are going to touch your heart. I encourage you just to familiarize yourself with them. And again, a great practice each day of the week when you get up to read one chapter in the book of Proverbs. If we have a month with 30 days, you read two chapters at the end. If you once a year, you have to read a few extra. But chapter a day keeps the devil away. I encourage you to do that. Let's have the musicians come.